the Ummah in particular and humanity at large with the presence of this bizarre entity that has been implanted into the heart of the Ummah with the force of colonialism without having any legal right to do so. So this was a colonial project that was put in there. He foresaw the dangers of not dealing with that issue properly. I think he was a very gifted man. May his soul rest in peace. He's left with us a very important gift behind, and we hope to be able to rise to the challenge and do the best we can to maintain this very important day. You see, if this day he didn't make it an issue back then, today the Palestinian people would have been, unfortunately, in my view, exterminated, because their case, their issue, what was going on with them was not being discussed or even brought to anywhere in the world except through the movement of the Axis of Resistance and, of course, with the leadership of Iran on this matter in particular. And we see exactly how important this maintaining of this day throughout the years is in light of what has been happening during the last 6 months. We have seen the most horrifying incidents of carelessness and hatred of human beings, racism, apartheid. Really, I can't find enough words to describe the evilness of the actions taken by this bizarre regime that is still trying to be standing there. I'm amazed that the world hasn't come together in a chorus and said, enough is enough, and we need to take action immediately, rather than threatening to kind of like, for example, in the case of the U.S. saying, we're going to make a supply of weapons conditional upon their showing more care for civilian lives. That's nonsense. For the past 6 months, 33,000 people, civilians mainly, have been exterminated systematically, shamelessly, and even bragging about it, making videos of it, posting it. In their stupid minds, they thought they were terrorizing the world into submission. And this is what we can do, and this is what we're going to do to anybody who tries to challenge us. Anyone who tried to criticize them was referred to as being anti-Semite, which is complete nonsense. Anti-Semitism and Semitism and Zionism have nothing to do with each other. Zionism is an odd introduction into the world there. And so I really appreciate this day, and appreciate anybody and everybody in the whole world who makes even a little bit of effort, whatever it is that they can do,
okay,
to take part in this day to ensure that the memory, the importance of highlighting the dangers and the evils of this entity is maintained and continued, and we must continue and do everything we can.
All right, stay with me, Kim. Stay with me, Kim. Sorry to interrupt you. Viewers, you're looking at these live images there on your screen coming out of Srinagar. And, of course, we have been looking at images coming from various parts of the world. Of course, Srinagar, Kashmir, where they have an active presence and very active usually for Lord's Day. And earlier we saw coming out of Kuala Lumpur and also Indonesia demonstrations that are taking place in these countries. And as I said, these demonstrations, Lord's Day now, is commemorated across the world. And here, these are live images. They're coming out of Srinagar in Kashmir. I'm going to cross back over to London and talk to Sakina Datu, journalist, author, and producer. When we look at, I want to look at what has taken place since you are a journalist and a producer, looking at the way the narrative that the Zionist regime has always controlled the media narrative in the West, we're talking about especially the United States or where you are in the UK and other countries, that they very much control the media in general. And in these 6 months, I want to talk about changes, if any, that have taken place, because on the one hand, we still have the corporate media, but we saw the activity and we see the activity of the social media and how significant it has been in these 6 months? Your take?
I mean, there is a huge change, Marzia. I think it is unbelievable. For me, I don't think that there was a time I could have believed that the Western media that we have been battling with for so long would change as it has. I mean, for example, today, if you look at what is being reported in all media, including the mainstream media, is, for example, the story of the aid workers who are killed. Now, of course, there is huge hypocrisy. If you look at it on one hand, it has taken over 30,000 Palestinians to die, and it wasn't the mainstream media in this part of the world wasn't as shaken as the seven people whose color and nationalities were different. However, that having said that, I think that is this killing of the aid workers has really shifted the mood around here. For example, radio hosts, very popular ones, who never ever supported or said a single thing against Israel, today I've been listening to the radio and everybody is calling for the end of arms sales to Israel. The government officials in this country are threatening to lay down their tools if UK continues to sell arms. So, and London, as you know, we've been having processions for all 6 months, every alternative a week. You've got people on the street. And the pressure is really getting very, very high. We're expecting today also a very big crowd for the Quds Day. And another issue that I think that has really changed in the media here is the perceptive people had on Iran in particular. Now, as we know that Imam Khomeini started this day of Quds Day, and at that time, and for all these 45 years, there's been a very negative spin on the Quds Day, it being an Iranian political movement. However, today, especially after the bombing of the embassy in Syria, I mean, we've been talking to people on the streets and everybody's saying Iran is actually the main country, the only country that has consistently stood for the rights of the Palestinians. And this thinking, I didn't see it as prevalent as I see it here today in London. And I think that is a huge achievement. You know, there are a lot of things that still need to be done. There is a lot of things we can criticize. But if you look at the positive side, there has been a huge change, both in terms of perspective of what really is happening in Palestine, support for Palestine, negative images of the occupying entity of Israel, but also towards Iran and the role it has played in the last 45 years for the nation of Palestine.
Yuz, you're looking at these live images there out of Srinagar, of course, as people there have consistently shown their support for the Palestinians. Of course, that's that's in Kashmir, and they are adamant supporters also of the Palestinian cause. And again, they are showing up on the Quds Day and showing their support for Palestine and their disdain with the Israeli entity. Well, Kim, when we look at our previous guest said, Sakina, basically that there's a change in perspectives, because throughout the years, of course, Iran has been, they have always, the hegemonic front has always tried to show Iran as basically the head of the axis of evil, as George Bush had said. Of course, Iran is the part of the axis, the head of the axis of resistance. Do you think that more and more people are becoming aware of which entity, for example, the Israeli entity that was always supposed to be the sole moral entity in the region, the reality of what they are, what it is, and also the reality of what the Islamic Republic of Iran stands for?
Yes, actually, I see that there is a change in the scenario, contrary to the horrible picture that the imperialists were drawing of Iran, along with their allies in the Gulf areas and elsewhere. No longer stands. People see Iran for what Iran is in fact. It is a supporter of these, of the most oppressed people, weakest people in the world. And if you look at what's happening exactly right now, is you're seeing three of the world's most powerful nations armed to the tills with all sorts of lethal weapons. They have enormous amount of authority and power and hegemony worldwide. Fighting two of the weakest,
okay, Kim,
most
I'm so sorry. Kim,
Kim,
excuse me. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to cross over to the Friday prayers in Tehran, where the IRGC commander, General Salami, is speaking. Let's cross over.
From the west and from the east, at the intersection.
Okay, we're going over now to listen to a speech, a keynote speech being made by a top IRGC commander, Salami, who's just started his speech on the occasion of International Quds Day. Let's listen in.
It's just a small bite for Israel and the hatred among the Palestinians for tens of years. It has brings about the energy for a long-term battle. Palestinians have never relied for their power.
وقذف في قلوبهم الرعب فريقا تقتلون وتأسرون فريقا وسرانجام خداوند
finally God Almighty will destroy their supporters
من سیاسیهم آنها را از قده‌های مستحکمشان فرود خواهد آورد
and bring them down from the strong citadel fortresses and will bring them to an end. And the Palestinians will kill some of them and will hold some of them captive. This tradition is coming to reality. We are acting according to God's pledges. God does not break his pledge and will make Muslims triumphant. And even if they waver at times, he will make them the ultimate victors. Today, the Zionist regime must accept this reality, that by expanding its evil acts, it cannot reach more security and have more security. The leader of the Islamic Revolution has said that is the flag bearer of the struggle and jihad, that our brave man will punish the Zionist regime. This regime cannot flee and escape the repercussions of the evil acts that it's committing, and we will know what will happen. We warn. That no action by no enemy concerning our sacred establishment will not go unanswered. People chanting, God is great. The art of the Iranian nation is breaking and the power of emperors, and the art of the Iranian nation is proving the triumph and victory of good versus against evil, and the Iranian nation has made the biggest stories for future people for posterity, just as Palestine is writing an eternal story, so that all of the generations that are to come, when they study it, they will become familiar with the truth of faith and reality of faith. Our great nation makes sacrifices and is loyal and is aware and will continue their revolution. And you should know that as long as that our bodies are being carried upon your hands in these coffins, the world of Islam is safe, and no power, however big in apparently, cannot deal a blow to this nation. You can rest assured of this fact.
سربلند باشید پیشا پیش
Stay proud.
عید مبارک و سعید فطر را
And I would also like to congratulate عید الفطر to all of you. And I wish you to have hold me in your prayers and peace upon you.
Well, you have been watching the commander of the Iranian Revolution.
Welcome back. You just heard IRGC Chief Commander Major General Salami addressing the Friday prayers worshippers on the occasion of World Quds Day. And during this speech, he said Zionists have no choice but to surrender. Major General Salami said Israeli regime can't get rid of fallout of its sedition, and he also said Iranian people remain loyal to Islamic revolution.
That's right. The top IRGC commander Hossein Salami, in his keynote speech, made the important point that the Zionists cannot increase their security through commitment of more crimes and atrocities in occupied Palestine. He also said the repercussions of the evil acts of the Israeli regime will affect this regime, and that no hegemonic power can deal a blow against the Iranian nation. Those were the main points made by IRGC's top commander, Hossein Salami. We continue with our rolling coverage of International Quds Day.
So he was referring to that and promised the nation that as long as basically they exist and continue that way, that the nation will be safe. Well, thanks so much for staying with us, viewers. We're going to cross over now. Let me see. I do have one of my guests. I'm so sorry. I don't have a name with me right now, and I don't have the city that I'm crossing over to. But let me go to our next guest and see what... here, just give me the papers, no problem. Thank you, so I can see who my guest is. So sorry, this is live television. Crossing over to Ramallah, human rights activist Amal Wahdan. Amal, so sorry about that. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, your take, Amal, when we look at the overall situation that has been taking place, I mean, we've talked over the last few months a few times, this 6 months, and where we are right now. I want your take on... we've been talking about the 7 aid workers who were killed recently and the uproar, especially from some of the Western mainstream media and also governments. On the one hand, we see the racism in it all because we're talking about over 30,000 people, over 34,000 people, almost 34,000 people being killed, Palestinians being killed, and not this type of uproar. And now we have these individuals, and of course, whose lives are also precious, or was precious, that there is more of an uproar. But at the same time, is it going to be something that causes a change in the policies of these Western governments and allowing this entity to continue with this genocide?
Yes, thanks for having me. This today's demonstrations all over the world have shown that the world is behind the Palestinian people, and the world is really, really angry. The free people of the world are really, really angry about these atrocities and genocide crimes that are being committed against the Palestinian people in Gaza. This is outrageous. This is like Al-Quds Day being repeated over and over again for the past 6 months. We haven't seen something like this before. This means that this Zionist colonial entity is being cornered. With the latest sad event, I mean, it's a huge, undescribable crime that has been committed against the aid workers of the Central World Kitchen. And it seems like the Western governments, although they have denounced it, you know, with different tones and different words and etc. But nobody has acted upon this. When you denounce, when you first admit, recognize that there was a very clear-cut crime committed by the Israeli army, they know that this was an aid vehicle, humanitarian aid vehicle. The people had asked for a permission from the Israeli government that they were taking a certain route in order to distribute humanitarian aid. I mean, how much more evidence does the governments of the world, the Western world in particular, need in order to say that this colonial apartheid state of Israel is indicted with this crime? They are responsible for this killing. Of course, the killing has been going on and on against UN employees. Over 170 employees of the UN has been killed. UNRWA employees has been killed. Ambulance, Medicare personnel has been also targeted. Hospitals has been targeted. Mosques, churches has been. Human civilians, I mean, 80% of the buildings of Gaza has been totally destroyed by the airstrikes and shellings of the Israeli army here. So what are these governments waiting for? It's been 6 months, over 180 days right now, but no action has been taken. And the only action that the U.S. has taken in the U.S. Security Council has not been met by the Israelis, because there is no force to make the Israelis commit to this resolution. We saw the double standard. It becomes really ironic to talk about double standard of the U.S. because all of its policies are double standard. When it becomes to the rights of the people, the human rights of the people in the whole globe, especially in Palestine, especially in Gaza, they shut their eyes. They don't see. They ignore it. They turn their face around. In Ukraine, they immediately, since of course military aid and financial aid, and but on the international organization, they stood by Ukraine, and they had several resolutions against Russia. Russia is being punished because of what's happening in Ukraine, because of the U.S. Resolutions. See, the double standard here is unbearable, and that's why the whole world now can see that the U.S. is responsible for every human being that has been killed in Gaza, deliberately killed in Gaza, including the aid workers. There were aid workers from the United States, from Australia, from Britain. But what we have seen so far is hypocrisy. no actions whatsoever. It's political words that has no meaning at all. And it will continue the same until, you know, a turning point where this Israeli entity is at the verge of collapsing. If they continue doing what they are doing now, it has been collapsing, you know, through these 6 months, especially before, but now it is intense.
Okay, I think I've lost Aman, but we have live images there coming out of Dhaka, where we see demonstrators gathering there, protesters gathering for the International Quds Day, and we have been getting images from throughout the world. Here we're looking at live images out of Bangladesh there, out of Dhaka, where people there have gathered for this day to protest what is happening currently and what has happened for over 75 years to the Palestinian people. Again, if you're just joining us, viewers, you're looking at live images as we go to various points in the world, and of course throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran today on International Quds Day, that we have protests, we have rallies, demonstrations in these various countries and various cities, that we will be bringing you images. And currently you're looking at this live image coming from Dhaka, Bangladesh. Okay, Ahmad, do I have you?
Yes, I can hear, but I was asking if there is any way that I can see what's broadcasting from Gaza.
Uh-huh. Well, it's actually, yeah, this is from Dhaka, actually, Dhaka, Bangladesh, and we're showing
Dhaka.
We're showing from different parts of the world as we get it in. Well, you know, Ahmad, you talked about the destruction that has taken place in Gaza, and of course the lives that have been lost. I want to particularly look at one entity, and that's the Al-Shifa Hospital, and the total devastation, the unbelievable crimes against humanity that took place there, that symbolizes everything that has happened these 6 months. And I think that this is a very, very important story that we must keep alive, that it is very symbolic of the lack of respect for human life, for the Palestinian life by the Israeli regime. Your take on the unbelievable tragedy that took place in Al-Shifa.
Yes, I mean, you have been cutting off at the end of the sentence, but yes, what went on at Shifa Hospital is a continuation of the crimes that has been going on and on. Why did they go back to Shifa Hospital? Shifa Hospital was, partially destroyed. They committed lots of crimes in it against the injured, against civilians, against those who seek refuge in a Shifa hospital, but they didn't care. You know, these people, the Israeli army personnel, all soldiers, they've been taught that, kill. They have been given orders, shoot to kill, and torture to kill. And that's what happened in Shifa. It resembles nature, the savage, barbaric, Nazi nature of this colonial state. Remember that we have been going through different massacres before 1948, through 1948, up until now. Gaza has it went through different wars, and all of these wars, if you look at the pictures, it has similarity. But now, with what has been going on in Gaza for 6 months, and what had been going in Al-Shifa Hospital for two weeks total siege, as if they were about to find resistance fighters among the injured. I mean, it's clear that even the, you know, the resistance fighters would not go to any hospital, if, even if they are injured. I mean, this is common sense, because all of Gaza is under airstrikes and under occupation, direct or indirect occupation. So what they were aiming to do, more than what they already did, this is unbelievable. They don't care about human lives. They don't care about children being starved to death. They use every lethal weapon to kill the Palestinians, from airstrikes to tank bombing, starvation, blockade. Well, Gaza has been under blockade for 17 years, but it survived the blockade. It's this policy that they are, you know, they learned it from their masters, from the U.S. The U.S. Imposed blockades against 33 countries. The latest countries were Russia. Syria has been going under blockade for years. Now Gaza, 17 years of blockade, but it's still, you know, the people there who are seeking refuge in some of the shelters, who are targeted by the Israelis, have the will to live. We have an education of death, an ideology of death, and we have the ideology of life, an ideology of committing to life, life values, human rights, real human rights. But the Israeli armies has no values whatsoever. Their values is based on kill the other. And that's what they are doing to the Palestinians in Gaza. It magnified their nature to the extreme. Nobody can come forward to defend this colonial state, outlawed state, except for the U.S. and its allies. The whole world is one, is united in one front, and the U.S. and the NATO countries on the other. And of course, there is difference between one and another NATO country, but they are all under the umbrella of the United States, and they are told what to do. So the U.S. is running the show, even now in Gaza, even with these seven aid workers from the Central World Kitchen. All of it is being masterminded in Washington and the rest of the Western capitals just follow orders. Al-Shifa Hospital, I'm sure that there are people who are writing, I mean Palestinians in Gaza, who are writing about their experiences and their testimonies about the crimes that has been committed in Al-Shifa. We actually aired a video about it, a two-minute video about it, just to show the horrifying outcome of this 2 weeks siege and crimes against civilians, against the staff, against the doctors, against those who were trying to seek shelter. So this total crime is a continuation of what has been done by this outlawed Zionist apartheid state.
Yes, indeed. Viewers, you're looking at, sorry to interrupt you, Amal. Viewers, you're looking at more images coming out of Bangladesh right now as protesters or ralliers have gathered in various cities in Bangladesh for this International Quds Day rally. And there you're looking at those live images there coming out of Bangladesh. And, of course, earlier we have seen images coming from Indonesia, Kuala Lumpur, Srinagar, And other parts of the world we're expecting to get images in. Of course, the farther eastern countries, that's the ones we're getting the images in, and we yes. expect to be getting images, of course, continually throughout the day. Well, Amal, when we see the situation, for example, we're talking about Shifa Hospital, it is quite remarkable, I think. When we see, for example, large medical institutions, for example, in the West and elsewhere, our universities, that they did not stand up. That, for example, doctors at various medical facilities would not stand up in solidarity with their fellow physicians and what is happening to them in Gaza, that hospitals are being sieged, that hospitals are being attacked, that doctors are being killed, kidnapped, tortured. I mean, the silence from various parts of the world, though, is still deafening. Your take?
I don't know. You know, I'm speechless. These are, doctors have sworn to do their duty to save lives, human lives. And these doctors in the Western world did not see these images. I'm sure they saw these images. If the, mainstream media doesn't bring it about, the CNN and BBC and all other mainstream media run by Murdoch. We know Murdoch, the tycoon Zionist who runs several media networks. I'm sure that they will show, glimpse of these scenes, but we have the social media now. And the footage that we are receiving, the videos that we are receiving from Gaza itself, whom has been cut off from the whole world. They do not have electricity. They don't.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Amal Wahdan, human rights activist out of Ramallah. Appreciate you being with us. Viewers, you're looking at live images there. Of course, that was coming from Tehran and throughout the Islamic Republic and other cities and countries in the world. We'll be continually bringing you those images as we get them in. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back shortly. Stay with us, please.
Welcome back. This is the live coverage of World Quds Day. Dear listeners, this year the World Quds Day is different from the previous ones, as the fabricated Zionist regime of Israel has launched an all-out genocidal war against the people of Gaza for 6 months. The world is witness to gruesome scenes of the crimes of Zionists in Gaza, while most of the so-called international organizations have kept silent, as the main international body, the United Nations, for a long time has turned into a machine of giving statistics and expressing sorrow towards the unprecedented crimes of the top epitome of terrorism, Israel. In view of this, the only way to get rid of this cancerous tumor in the region, in the West Asia region, is to unite all Muslim nations and freedom-seeking people in the world. The father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, announced the final Friday of the blessed month of Ramadan as the World Quds Day, in a bid to draw attention of world Muslims towards the issue of Palestine and help uproot the cancerous tumor of Israel in the region. Since Imam Khomeini's announcement in 1979, Muslims and free-spirited people in the world have held demonstrations in support for Palestine, but this year, the World Quds Day has got high importance as the issue of Palestine has become the top priority for many nations all over the world. Zionists have tried for over 7 decades, for over 75 years, to depict the occupation of Palestine and establishment of the fake Israeli regime as an inevitable process in the world. Therefore, from day one, they started to forge historical record for the Jewish state. They have always considered themselves as the chosen nation which has been wronged and denied their ancestral land. Historical research on Judaism and Israel reveals that almost all of the sources and references available in various circles have been produced and authored by the writers and historians of this current. In other words, there is no source outside the tight circle of Jewish community. Consequently, the result of research will be what the producers like. Ilan Pape from the British University of Exeter in his book, 10 Myths About Israel, and Shlomo Sand in his book, The Invitation of the Land of Israel, expose a lot of historical forgeries of the Jewish ethnicity. Apart from efforts have been made to reveal the fabricated historiography on Israel, it seems that this trend has almost become expired due to the genocide and unprecedented crimes that have been wreaked upon innocent people in Gaza since October 7, 2023. Palestinian combatants dealt a very great blow to the Zionist regime in Operation Al-Aqsa Storm as they shattered the awe and pomp of the Israeli security, intelligence, and military. As you may know, this operation was a great mockery at the Zionist regime, which used to propagate itself as the most powerful military in the region. Zionists, in reaction to their humiliating defeat in Al-Aqsa Storm, launched an all-out war from air and ground against the tiny Gaza Strip with over 2 million people. They have justified their attacks with the pretext of annihilation of Hamas and freeing their captives, but 6 months after the Zionist regime's aggression and genocide in Gaza, they not only have failed to reach their goals, but also they have sustained great losses and blows. Netanyahu and his racist clique in the Zionist cabinet haven't avoided any crime to achieve their illegal goals. More than 33,000 Palestinians have been martyred during the past 6 months, two-thirds of whom are women and children. Massacring of women and children is being done by the Jewish criminals to pressure Palestinian combatants and force them to capitulate to the dictates of Zionists. But the people of Gaza have resisted bravely and honorably against the shortcomings, against the famine, thirst, and lack of basic medical necessities. Zionist troops have resorted to every inhumane way to break the morale of the Palestinian resistance, including rape of women and girls. Reem Al-Salem, the UN Special Rapporteur on violence against women and girls, pointing to the broad arresting of Palestinian women and girls after October 7, 2023, said, "As silence against such crimes is prevalent due to the fear of victims from revenge, we may not be able to know the real number of victims for a long time." Zionist regime officials in all levels have explicitly uttered their intentions and racist stances in their speeches. Ex-Mossad official Rami Igra said that every child over the age of 4 in Gaza should be included in collective punishment. An Israeli rabbi said in Tel Aviv, "No mercy should be shown even to children. They should be killed too." Then he attributed his statement to verses from the Torah and interpreting it in a way that they have no right to life. Now, dear listeners, here we go back to Press TV headquarters. Here we have our colleague Marzia Hashemi. Let's take a listen.
Crossover right here in Tehran, where we have our correspondent Gisu Ahmadi standing by. Gisu, tell us what you have, please. Okay, well, hopefully we'll reestablish that connection with our correspondent soon, who's on the ground here in Tehran. Of course, as millions have turned out in the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran today to commemorate International Quds Day. Let me see if we have. I'm not sure if we have our correspondent yet. Well, we can see the images, though, from the rally. that people have been turning out throughout the morning. And we saw other images. A lot of them are going towards the Friday prayer, and some of them are still trying to make their way there. We saw earlier others who have already made their way when we saw General Hossein Salami, who spoke to the crowd there at Friday prayer. And of course, you know, we have to remember that this is the month of Ramadan. These people who come out year after year after year on this day to show their support. They're fasting, no eating, no drinking. Fortunately, this time of the year, the weather is a little bit better, but there have definitely been times that it has been in the middle of the summer and heat. And I think that that was one part of the reason that Imam Khomeini deemed this day in the month of Ramadan. It's a month of sacrifice. It's a month of trying to do something for others. It's a month of trying to relate to those who don't have. And of course, it was a perfect month to also commemorate the situation and the struggle of the Palestinian people, and to show one's dedication towards that cause while not eating and not drinking, turning out in mass in support of the Palestinians. Again, you're looking at these live images right now coming from Tehran, and hopefully I'll be crossing over to my correspondent shortly. We have seen images, of course, this morning from various parts of the world, from Indonesia, from Kashmir, from Bangladesh, and from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And, of course, now we've been seeing throughout the country of Iran, various cities from north, south, east, and west, that people...
Welcome back. Well, it seems that there was a technical problem in connecting Gisumi Shahmadi, Press TV correspondent in Tehran. But as you may know, supporters of Zionists outside the occupied Palestine expressed their racist views without any conservatism or shame on massacring Palestinians. A Republican member of the U.S. House of Representatives said, on a video of amputated children and the tax dollars paid to murder the children of Gaza, in my opinion, we should kill all of them. With a complaint of South Africa to the International Court of Justice, the court called for halting of aggression in Gaza. Here we go to Press TV headquarters, where we have Gisumi Shahmadi, Press TV correspondent in Tehran. Let's take a listen.
And Marcia, it's interesting to see. I've been covering this rally for so many years, and I've never seen this huge number of people taking part. And at this time, particularly while the Friday prayers is underway, we still have people coming in to join, and that's how large the number of people who took part in this rallies is. And of course, this is not unexpected considering the recent developments. We were expecting a larger number than ever of people to be taking part in the rallies, particularly in the capital, Tehran, because they definitely want to get their voices heard. Even people who would have, under normal circumstances, for health issues or other issues, prefer not to come out. This year, everyone is out on the streets, Marzia. And let's not forget the slogan of this year's rally, Tufan al-Ahrar, a flood of freedom, meaning that the Al-Aqsa flood is going to turn into a flood that will liberate the Palestinians after all these years. Now, before I continue, I'd like to bring in one of the people who took part in this rally and ask him why he's here. خیلی ممنونم آقا. اگر ممکنه بفرمایید شما دفعه اول شرکت می‌کنید توی این راهپیمایی و اگر شرکت می‌کنید دلیلش چی هست؟
بنده سال‌های متمادی از اون موقع که به اصطلاح خودمون دست چپ و راستم رو شناختم، بنابر احساس وظیفه دینی و شرعی در این مراسمات هر سال به طور مستمر شرکت داشتم و امسال یک سال متفاوتی میتونه باشه. امسال با جنایت‌هایی که رژیم صهیونیستی اسرائیل، این رژیم کودک‌کش و قاصد، در این شش ماه به سر این مردم مظلوم، بی دفاع، بی گناه آوردن و بدتر از صحنه‌های جنگ و میدان‌های جنگ دارن با این زن و بچه مردم رفتار میکنن. بمب سنگر شکن روی بیمارستان روی خونه.
Welcome back. So I was saying, with the complaint of South Africa to the International Court of Justice, the court called for halting of aggression in Gaza, but the racist cabinet of Netanyahu defied the vote of the ICJ. Not only Zionists, but also in its Western supporters, led by the United States regime, do not wield any pressure against the Zionist regime to stop the massacre of women and children in Gaza. The criticisms of some of the Western statesmen against Israel are just aimed at deceiving public opinion and portray them as human lovers. Support for the fake Zionist regime is the permanent policy of the Western regimes. This has been explicitly pursued for the past 6 months. The United States has used the veto power 87 times in the United Nations. Interestingly, 57 times of these vetoes have been applied in favor of the child killer Israeli regime. We have heard many times the threadbare phrase, Israel has the right to defend itself, but we have never heard that Palestine also has the right to defend itself. According to the foreign policy doctrine of the United States and many Western regimes, the Zionist regime is the issue for which every humanitarian principle can be violated. The supporters of the Zionist regime don't like to pay attention to what Israel has done in Gaza to force the people of Gaza to defend. Well, dear listeners, here we go to Press TV headquarters, where we have Gisu Misha Ahmadi, our Press TV correspondent in Tehran.
Watching. So, Marzia, we also have with us our photographer, Reza Hashemi, who has been with the crowds, taking part in the rallies and, of course, observing. So I'm going to bring him in to see what he's been seeing today. Reza, tell us what's been going on. You've been here from the early mornings, early hours of this morning.
Well, it's been a very busy few hours now. People from all parts of the country have been coming out, from ages young and old, children from newborns I've seen to old men in wheelchairs coming out supporting Palestine.
And you're also a photographer, so I'm sure that you caught some interesting photos. Tell us more about what you saw.
I've seen people dressed in military clothes in support of Palestine. I've also seen some of our Jewish brothers in Iran coming out, showing their support, showing that Palestine is not just a Muslim situation, it's a situation for all human beings around the world.
That's absolutely right. And, well, you said the Jewish community in Iran is involved. Now, what we usually hear in Western media, and mainstream media in particular, is that anyone who is against Israel is an anti-Semite. How true do you see that to be?
It's a word that they are using to show their support for Zionism. That's unfortunately a lie. We have Jews inside of Iran and all over the world that have shown their support for Palestinians, that have made their voices loud and clear that it's not a Semitic issue, it's a humanitarian issue.
Thank you so much, Reza. Well, Marzieh, there you have it. This is what we've been observing from the early hours, about 9 a.m. when people started coming out to take part in this year's Quds rallies. And interestingly, it's past noon and people are still coming out to take part in the rallies.
Yeah, Gisu, because I wanted to tell you said all roads lead to the University of Tehran, because, of course, here in the studio, I have a different angle, and we're still seeing people far away from the university still, it seems, trying to make their way there. So definitely unbelievable numbers there today. Thanks so much, Gisu Ahmadi, for that update on the ground right here in Tehran. And thank you, viewers, for staying with us right here at Press TV as we continue our live coverage of the situation that is taking place. And of course, as our correspondents have been saying this morning throughout the city, that this is a different type of year. This is a year, of course, that we have seen 6 months of continual genocide watching live. So always, the Iranian nation have come out to support the Palestinian cause on International Quds Day. But, of course, this year, is something different. People around the world want to do something. People around the world have felt helpless during this 6 months and have taken to the streets. And of course, it goes back to 1979 and the establishment of this International Quds Day with Imam Khomeini, and basically trying to wake up the world back then to what we see right now, that in unison, everyone coming out together can stop oppression, that we all must stand up against the oppressor. And what we are witnessing in these last 6 months, what we have witnessed is a greater awareness, not only in the Muslim world, but throughout the world, of the reality of the crimes of the Israeli entity from 1948 or even prior to that until now. The narrative is starting to change, though it is very difficult. We had heard before the narrative that was trying to be sold, that the Israeli military was the most moral and humane military in the world. Well, people are seeing with their own eyes babies, infants being crushed, infants being pulled from under the rubble, mothers saying goodbye to their children, fathers holding the bodies of their dead children. So that part of the narrative was definitely thrown out. And the rest of the narrative, the Zionist narrative that has been taking place, especially in Western countries and beyond, for many, many years, is falling apart at the seams. And this is actually one of the most important situations, what has happened in these 6 months. The real narrative is starting to come through. The oppression of the Palestinian people and the determination of the Palestinian nation. We have seen plan after plan to try to create Nakba after Nakba, and now in Gaza to try to clear it out of Palestinian people. But we've seen the strong will of the Palestinian people, and despite at least 33,000 people being killed, possibly over 40,000 if we consider the numbers that are under the rubble, Palestinian nation stands strong, and the Palestinian people continue with their resistance and supporting the resistance. I think we're going to cross over. We have some images there coming from Nigeria.
Well, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, as you may know, rallies are underway across Iran to mark World Quds Day in support of Palestinians and their cause. And just about an hour ago, IRGC Chief Commander Major General Salami addressed the Friday prayers worshippers on the occasion of the World Quds Day. As you may know, this year the World Quds Day is much different from the previous ones, as the fabricated regime of Israel has launched an all-out genocidal war against the people of Gaza for 6 months now. The world is witness to gruesome scenes of the crimes of Zionists in Gaza, while most of the so-called international organizations have kept silent, as the main international body, the United Nations, for a long time has turned into a machine of giving just numbers and statistics and expressing sorrow towards the unprecedented crimes of the top epitome of terrorism, Israel. And now, dear listeners, here we go back to Press TV headquarters, where we have Ali Rezg, a political analyst. Let's take a listen.
Quds Day, maybe it's not deliberate, but it is taking place, not just in Muslim countries, but also in European countries, where we see masses of people turning out, condemning the Israeli side, voicing their support and their sympathy for the plight of the Palestinians. So I think that there are various circumstances taking place this year which makes it unique. And in my opinion, the most important aspect in that regard is the newfound international awareness of the sufferings of the Palestinians, and also a realization of the evil, racist nature, in particular of this current Israeli government, which is considered to be one of the most fascist governments in Israel's history. So, you know, again, these are unique times, and for this reason, it's a unique Quds Day this year.
Yes, and you mentioned about the fascist Israeli regime, and I want to look at that, because we see the Western hegemonic front that they have continually supporting the regime. Now starting to, excuse me, at least on a verbal level, sort of condemning certain actions of the regime, especially the killing of the aid workers, but at the same time continuing their support, whether we're talking about the U.S. and its cohorts and continually arming and giving intelligence support. So it's basically the Zionist front, the Zionist U.S. front, that is committing this genocide. Do you think that there's greater awareness that for people around the world of the complicity of the United States in this genocide and the importance of that, and basically people looking for an alternative from an international perspective, because also the international, so-called international community that was set up by the U.S. 1945 has failed to help the Palestinian people. Your overall assessment of this, Ali?
I think there is a growing realization that the Americans are enabling the Israelis to carry it out. That's clear, and that rightfully so, because Israel relies heavily on American military aid, in addition to the political cover which the U.S. provides, although there was a abstention from the United States in a recent vote which allowed for a Security Council resolution to pass, but that resolution was described by John Kirby, the American official, as being non-binding. It's interesting your reference to the fact or to the issue about people looking for a new alternative other than the US-led world order. And I think that that is taking place. People are viewing the United States being more and more hypocritical. And I think one major factor behind that is the difference they noticed in the American approach towards the situation in Ukraine on the one hand, and the approach towards the war in Gaza on the other. If you noticed during the war on Ukraine, the Americans spoke about human rights, you know, accused the Russian government of carrying out bloodbaths, etc. Now, if that is true, and I'm not saying it is, but just assuming that is true, why not deal with the same way regarding Israel's practices? So this hypocrisy, I think, was revealed very clearly when people drew that comparison. And I think that even starting with the war on Ukraine, even before Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, the Global South clearly distanced itself from the American stance, and it didn't take that pro-Ukrainian perspective which we saw taken in the US and in many European countries. The war in Gaza, I think, has further increased this phenomenon of viewing the US as not being the suitable player, if you would like, to play that role of leading the international community. And when we say international community, many people, what occurs to them is Europe, the West in general, but the international community includes a much broader spectrum of players, you know, the Global South, South Africa, Indonesia, South Africa. Everybody noticed its important stance in filing the case with the International Court of Justice. So there is a change taking place, and I think that the US is no longer the hegemon it used to be. It is, no doubt, it remains, I think, one of the dominant players. But things are changing. I think that the situation in Gaza is speeding up that process.
Yes, indeed. And we're looking at live images from Qom there, viewers, as you're seeing various cities pop up on your screen throughout the Islamic Republic of Iran. And, of course, throughout the world, we saw a little bit ago just images coming out of various cities in Nigeria. I'm talking to political analyst Ali Riz here in Beirut. Ali, you talked about, I want to touch on again, that the end to this so-called rules-based system and the importance of this, and also the danger when we're in this transition, it appears, from this multipolar world to a unipolar world. It is a very significant time, but it can also be a very dangerous time when that hegemon is basically behaving extremely erratically. Do you think that is what we're seeing right now, and this absolute blind support for this regime during this Holocaust?
I think that the United States suffers from a psychological dilemma, which is that it fails to realize or fails to confess to the reality that it's no longer the superpower it used to be, and that there are competitors like China and like Russia. Psychologically, that's what I notice, there appears to be a lack of, you know, admission to this mere fact, and that does make the US policies dangerous, yes. The US now will be looking for various ways to weaken Russia. Most importantly, it'll be looking for various ways to weaken China, considering that China is the biggest challenge to US hegemony, although I think that that might take place more with a Republican administration more than with a Democrat, given that the Republicans have the bigger animosity towards China. Now, the situation regarding American support for Israel, I'm not sure how much that is linked to the American hegemonic policies. I think that does play a certain part, but I think there is another part which is maybe even more important, which is that link to American domestic affairs and American ideological support for Israel. Domestically, going against Israel, according to US politicians, that will carry a heavy cost, particularly now. We're in an election year, and that's one of the reasons why I think Biden has been hesitant to put real pressure on the Israelis. And the other is ideological. You know, the Americans, a lot of the American officials, I think Biden's one of them, have this clear perspective that Israel is an ally, and this is an ideological perspective. That's why, that's one of the reasons as well why Biden has been so hesitant or so reluctant to put real pressure, because he does have this idea, I think, in his mind that Israel is a solid ally of the US. And he's spoken about this time and again, that if Israel didn't exist, we'd have to pursue efforts to create an Israel. So I think that all of these various factors taken together, they explain why the US is supporting Israel to this level. Now, they also explain why the US is supporting Israel at the time where Israel is actually undermining US interests, because I think there's no other explanation except for the fact that it costs domestically in American domestic politics, and there's an ideological element which appears to be blind to the fact that support for Israel, or ignoring the fact that support for Israel, is undermining Washington's interests.
Yes, indeed it is. And of course, what we have been seeing is this greater awareness not only taking place everywhere in the world, also inside of the United States, with young people becoming a lot more aware. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out within the United States. Thanks so much, Ali Riz, political analyst out of Beirut, for being with us. And thank you, viewers, for staying with us right here at Press TV. It's been a pleasure being with you. I'm going to turn it over to my good colleague, Danny Adia, who will be joining us shortly. Thanks so much, and goodbye for now.